Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Good Sunday morning, and welcome to The Drift. Thank you for stopping by. Cold, dark Sunday, but I have two bright and shiny guests in the studio with me. Joe Vollmer, CEO, Powertrain Solutions, and my good friend, Pat Tavolacci, who, Pat, do you even want to say where you work?
Yes, of course I'd like to say where
I work.
Give
them a free plug then.
Eaton Corporation. I'm in the Aerospace Division Supply Chain Director. A United States of America company doing well.
And an all-around good guy, if I may say so.
Well, thank you, Gary.
So we've got quite a bit to get to today, but first let's say this is The Drift, and we recap the week's news and events and give you some commentary, as we always do every Sunday. Go to thedailydrift.com, thedailydrift.com, and you'll see the news that... I peruse the internet for you, get it online, and hopefully you're seeing it instead of missing it, because you won't get it from the mainstream liberal media. If you want to email me instead of calling in today, gary@thedailydrift.com. You can give me your comments. You can also see the links to The Daily Drift at currentonline.com. So if you want to get a hold of me, I'm an easy guy to get hold of. Email us, call us, whatever you need to do. But we want to thank you for coming this morning. Our sponsor this half hour is The Rock Shop. By appointment at this point, I think, because the doors are probably getting close with the weather closing in. But 734-455-5560. If you want to do some hardscape this spring, you need to go see Marco and Helena Scapaticci. They're at the Rock Shop, which is just off of M14. I think it's exit 15, North Territorial and Godfredson Roads. Now, they got a great selection of hardscape, garden benches, statuary, fountains, all kinds of stuff, and you can get a really good price from them this time of year, 734-455-5560. Or you can go to the rock-shop, shoppe.com, and check out all their cool stuff right online there. So the Rock Shop. Thank you, Marco and Helena, and Merry Christmas. So, gentlemen, we made it through, we're almost to Christmas. I guess this is our Christmas show. But we made it through the end of the world, yes?
Yes.
Did you do anything special, Pat, on...
I did not. I just closed my eyes at 11:59, and at 12:01 I opened them, and I was still here.
Right. Well, it depends on what time of the year or time of the where in the world you were.
That's
too.
Correct.
People were calling in. So, Joe, did you do anything?
I got back from L.A. the night before, I think, and then that was a bad weather day. So, just kind of immersed myself in work all day and. I was glad to see at the end that I was still alive.
Yes, and we made it through, and now it's Christmas. So what we wanted to talk about today is, of course, we're going to do a little gun control action. I do have some bright news in there as well. I know people are like, oh, I don't want to hear about that at Christmas. But let's start with the local news here. In Livingston County, pistol permit requests are jumping, and people are looking to buy guns, and this is all over the country at this point. People know that there's a gun ban of some sort coming down the pipe, and we're going to talk about that today. But Sheriff Bazot right there in Livingston County said, and I like this guy because he's pretty much on the same page as me, if you take guns away, he's quoted as saying, you're only taking them away from those who obey the law. And that, first and foremost, that's probably the common sense reason not to worry about putting a gun ban into place, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, the people who are in line up there in Livingston County registering their handguns are not going to be the problem people.
That's right, because they follow the law.
Yeah. You know, and I don't remember how many, you probably know all the stats, Gary, how many handguns are actually out there in this country that are never registered, and they're never going to find out about them.
Yeah, millions. Millions of unregistered and millions of registered guns. And we're going to get to some statistics here shortly, which will be, I think, astounding to a lot of people. But Livingston County has really not had that problem, and I think people are buying guns because they feel that their rights are going to be somehow taken away from them. And even Ann Arbor Arms right down here in Ann Arbor is doing a boom of business. Dip Kupke, who does a show on this station, said they were three deep when he stopped in there the other day. Hmm. And that's Ann Arbor, liberal Ann Arbor.
You know, sure. So. And I know of a resident of Brighton that is currently, he is digging in his yard, has purchased all this protective packaging, and is burying guns throughout his yard and ammunition for the future.
Wow, really?
Yes.
No, that's taking it to the extreme, but I can see his point. I, at one time, did that back during the last gun ban, you know, but I didn't go to quite to that extent. But what's kind of crazy is the effect this is also having on gun stocks and companies that make guns. Now, you're seeing a lot of people kind of pulling away, Pat.
Yeah.
Divesting in gun companies because they're worried about the how it looks to
yeah,
be
absolutely.
Invested.
Well, I mean, it's natural. Any time, you know, these kind of tragedies occur, everyone, specifically the liberal media, goes up in arms and says that guns are the issue. Guns are why people are dying, and that is just not true. What's happening is that people are not being diagnosed with problems that they may have, and guns are an easy target for that. It's
right.
not. It's I've never heard of the statistics that you'll give here in a little bit. You will not talk about a gun going off by itself in any of those statistics. Somebody pulled the trigger.
Right.
And the folks that you talked about earlier that are registering, that's not the issue.
Right.
It's
yeah,
not period.
And part of that is the myth. And there's locally, Rochester Hills, there's a Dr. Joel Young, I think. He's talking about parents are calling into the school and calling into the office up in Rochester Hills because they're worried about their kids being the next Adam Lanza. And that's, I guess, if there's a silver lining, the silver lining is people are now paying attention
yep.
to the mental health issue, and especially of their kids. I mean, weren't you paying attention to your kids before? I bet you a lot of parents are looking at their kids now, probably checking out their rooms, checking out their computers, you know, and that's a good first step. I mean, for all of us to be a little more aware. But even this doctor who has some good advice is also perpetuating the myth of guns. Derek, can we listen to track one? This is from his interview on Fox 2 News. All right, we're trying to pull it up. But he's perpetuating the myth of guns being the blame. Here we go. Let's listen to this track.
Greater risk. Well, Nancy Lanza, Adam's mother, knew she had a problem child, and yet she had assault weapons in her home. If indeed we have children and we worry about their mental state, what should we do with the weapons in our houses?
Well, what a terrible decision to have violent weapons. Weapons are by nature violent, but to have submachine guns, cartridges, high magazine cartridges that can unload quickly with an impulsive child.
All right, let's break that down real quick. What's a high-capacity cartridge? Cartridge is actually the part of the shell. It's not the magazine. I don't want to call the man a moron, but obviously he should learn what he's talking about before he starts. And then he calls them submachine guns. They're not submachine guns. They're not automatic weapons. It's a semi-automatic weapon, Mr. Dr. Young, whatever your name was. I mean, if you listen to the, he's got some good advice for children. And yes, the lady made a terrible mistake.
Sure.
If you got a kid like that, yeah, you probably should have had. But we don't know how he got the guns.
Absolutely.
We don't know what that process was. We will find out. But she paid the ultimate price for her mistake, without a doubt, as did the poor children and teachers. But I think you've pegged it. Don't worry about the symptom, which is the guns.
Absolutely.
The problem is mental health.
Yeah.
And how do we find these kids? You know, oddly enough, in Connecticut, the week before this shooting, the legislature in Connecticut was looking at a bill that would allow greater access and ease to get people who have mental problems into help or into therapy. And the ACLU fought against it, saying it's a breach
right.
of privacy.
Yeah.
You got to draw the line somewhere. I mean, the ACLU seems to find itself on the wrong end of arguments all the time, but nobody's saying to them, "What did you do?" You know, they're partly to blame for this.
And any energy that we that we expend not dealing with the root cause of the issue is wasted time. If we're going to set up committees and hearings and bring the NRA in before God and country and talk about how evil guns are, we're missing the picture. How do we get help to people like this? How do we stop the secrets and bring it out and say, let's deal with this issue? We have a mental health issue in this country, and we got to deal with it.
Yeah.
We can't hide and defectives, the wrong word, but I can't think of a different word right now. Folks like that in our sixth grade class, our fifth grade class, our third grade class,
right.
They have to be cared for adequately. And there's professionals out there to do it.
Yeah, but we talked about that this week earlier, Gary, that you know, we know of a elementary school teacher in the area here who, you know, has expressed concern about how do teachers today even take care of identified problem kids? Right. The bureaucracy that's in the way of truly getting help for these kids is very difficult to manage through.
Yeah. And let's take a look at that right after the break. We'll talk a little more about schools and the mental health issue and see if we can come up with some answers maybe. We'll see you on the other side.
Listeners, I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Every Sunday at 5 p.m., we explore the world of art and antiques, commercially, academically, and from the perspective of the collector. Speaking of Art features renowned guests as our guides as we visit great museums, galleries, theaters, and historic sites. We'll examine paintings, prints, sculpture, and drawings. You'll hear from the artists and their patrons, and you'll gain a special insight into both contemporary and historical periods. We'll travel through monuments of world architecture and experience the evolution of design. Achievements in film, music, and stage will also grace our forum. Speaking of Art is one of the best conversations of your week. So, nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Sunday at 5 on WHAM. Speaking of Art, it's about civilization, yours.
Settle in for a great conversation every Sunday at 5 p.m. Speaking of Art with Ed Hoffman, exclusively on WHAM Talk 1600.
I guess we got caught up in the crazy housing boom.
We had been in the house so long, we didn't want to lose it.
I was only going to pay interest for the first 5 years.
What these people share is that they all got in trouble with their mortgages, and they all called a certified housing counselor for help.
Our housing counselor looked at our paperwork, and she knew something was wrong.
She understood what needed to be done, and she helped me work it out with the bank.
This is a free service. If you think you're in trouble, don't wait. Call 1-866-687-6322 or visit mortgagehelpnow.org.
This is the Clark Cast with Matt Clark.
In Prop 2's case, that specifically was more or less about public sector unions. When it comes to private sector unions, you already have the right to collectively bargain. Regardless if Prop 2 passes or not, regardless if Right to Work passes or not, you will still have the right to collectively bargain. That cannot be taken away.
Don't miss the Clark Cast live Sunday afternoons, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud, the Marines.
This is Derek Stone, inviting you to join me for the Wham! Country Christmas Special on Christmas morning from 4 to 6 and Christmas night from midnight to 2. I'll be playing classic Christmas songs from legendary singers like Johnny Cash, Merle Haggard, and Dolly Parton, as well as Christmas songs from today's biggest stars like George Strait, Lady Antebellum, and Toby Keith. That's the Wham! Country Christmas Special on Christmas Day right here on Wham!
I'm Susan Lucci. More than 2 million Americans have a type of irregular heartbeat called atrial fibrillation, or AFib, putting them at greater risk of stroke.
I'm Dr. David Willis, and I frequently see patients with AFib, a serious condition where a blood clot can travel from the heart to the brain, causing a stroke.
When I found out my husband, Helmut, had AFib, I pledged to learn everything I could.
Susan and I, along with my doctor, work as a team to help reduce my risk of AFib-related stroke.
Visit FacingAFib.com today.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dave Janda, host of Operation Freedom, broadcasting live from Wham Talk 1600's Freedom Bunker every Sunday from 3 to 5. We are the only operating room in all of radio. Every Sunday in our OR, we dissect current events with the help of guests that Enemedia are afraid to bring to light. Our goal is to educate and empower you. I hope you'll join our OR team every Sunday from 3 to 5 right here at Wham Talk 1600. Yeah!
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
Well, welcome back. Thanks for catching my drift this Sunday morning. In the studio with me, Joe Vollmer, Pat Tabalacci, both from West Brighton. Gentlemen, welcome back. And we were talking before the break about teachers being disempowered, because that's part of, you know, what I call the spheres of influence. The school system has been depowered in the lives of our children. And you were talking about a child who is having a problem, and yet the school can't do anything about it because the parents are not helping at this point. Is that what I'm getting out of this?
Well, you know, I can't talk about specifics, but, you know, it's very difficult for a teacher these days to say, I don't want this child back in my classroom unless it has had a psychological evaluation. So, you know, you have teachers, you know, it's going to happen. There are, you know, it happens every time. You have a bad event occurs. Media comes to town. They talk to all the past teachers, and all the past teachers say, yep, saw that one coming, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, these teachers, they didn't sit on their hands. I'm sure most of them probably really tried to pursue help. But the system is not set up for the school, the public schools, to demand that. You know, so that's what they need to fix.
Right, right. What's amazing to me is, you know, we only have ourselves to blame on this, because for years, I mean, we took away the corporal punishment from schools. We took away the ability of teachers to even yell at your kids anymore, because of so many parents. Don't you yell at my kid. What? He's in my care. I'm going to discipline him. That's the way it should be. But unfortunately, we as a culture have gotten away from that. And we wonder why our kids are running amok.
Who is more qualified besides a trained professional, psychiatrist, psychologist, and, you know, the list goes on, than a teacher, to assess students?
Right.
This is somebody that year after year, you know, you're a 20-year teacher, year after year, you've seen the gamut of kids and what they can and cannot do, what they're capable of doing, what they're not capable of doing. We need to listen and provide the resources to these folks and distance ourselves from the ACLU-type dynamics that we're faced with today. The minute we want to slap or spank or, somehow correct a young student, we're an abuser.
Right, yeah. And even kids today can get their parents in trouble by saying, oh, he abused me. He verbally abused
me.
He yelled at me. I'm your parent. Why wouldn't I yell at you if I needed to? You know, I'm trying to correct your behavior. And you know, I get laughed at, but one of my favorite sayings is never underestimate the power of negative reinforcement. Because you know what? Sometimes that's required. It's a combination of love and discipline to get a kid to where it needs to be.
Yeah, but not to pile on here, but, you know, just to emphasize your points that you've been making. Everyone is after what can we do now and quick in the wake of what occurred. And the real answer to that is exactly what you've been saying. Let's empower those teachers who see these problems in the classroom, and let's make it that their evaluations can be enacted upon immediately. That's the best thing we can do right now.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. Every right. school district in the country should be looking, let's find those problem kids now and try and get them into the counselor's office, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Bring the parents in and say, listen, we are worried. We need to do something. Yes, that's immediate. That's a short term. It can happen just like that. Now, the NRA finally came out and spoke, and Wayne LaPierre got up and did his press conference, and of course the Code Pink morons showed up trying to disrupt it. But let's go with track two there, Derek, and let's listen to this portion of his speech because I think it hits on what we're talking about. And I was talking about the culture last week, so let's go with that track, Derek.
Ago, the people there were walking around numb, and they still are. Nope. After a school shooting that claimed the lives of 27 victims
no,
in all,
it, Derek.
20 of them little
kids. Yeah, it'll be the next one down, I think, the second one down. But anyways, what Wayne LaPierre ends up stating this time is that it's not the gun's fault. Well, it isn't the gun's fault, and it's not the gun culture's fault either. It's the fault of what we do to our kids on a regular basis. And he goes on to say, it's the video games.
Mm-hmm.
It's the music. It's the movies. It's the television. Because that has become the greatest sphere of influence for children of today. And I'm just as guilty. I let my son play for probably way too much video games, but he doesn't play the shooters yet. He's still playing with Mario. But we allow that. We encourage that violence. I was thinking to myself the other day, some civilizations evolve. It seems like our civilization here is devolving because we're at the end days of the Roman Empire, what did they do? They crammed the Colosseum full of Christians and gladiators and death and mayhem, you know, and that was to appease people and keep them busy and occupied. And what are we doing now? We're jamming our airwaves and our video games with violence to keep kids occupied, thinking that, well, I don't know what we're thinking. I don't know how we've devolved to that kind of a society.
Yeah, I think I forget the author, but the name of the book was Amused to Death. And, you know, whether that amusement comes through watching war as almost a form of entertainment nowadays on television,
yeah,
or the video games or such, it's become a cultural issue.
Right.
If you know, getting back a little bit to the mental health piece, yeah, I totally agree. You know, with this the tangent that we're going down relative to the amusement factor that you guys are talking about, Wayne had an opportunity here and he missed it.
Tell us what.
He had an opportunity here to say, look, let's not get into this blame game. Let's use the resources that he has. It's got to be good business for the NRA to say, we need to do something about mental health. It's got to be good business. It's got to be good business for him to say, look, let's not take guns away. Let's make sure that people that have guns are qualified to have guns. Simple as that. I'm thinking that the NRA could use this opportunity to come a little bit towards center, a step, Gary, and to go down this mental health and let's figure this thing out. And the video games and all the rest of that is another symptom, certainly, of the problem. When you're talking about somebody like Adam, you're talking about people that need help. And the NRA can be part of that.
Well, there's certainly room for a lot of people now to step up and take a leadership role in the mental health aspect of it. Right. It's just a question of who's going to do it. And maybe the NRA, you know, could have done a lot for themselves by jumping forward with.
Well, I think they can certainly step up as to offer more training, to offer more
absolutely.
Support. And maybe one thing they do need to do is when you do buy a gun, you fill out that form, and the form asks you if you have had any mental issues or are you on any medication. Maybe that should be expanded to, is there anyone in your household?
Right.
You know, again, then you're talking the ACLU, who probably won't step up on this one, a breach of privacy, but I think that is a question that needs to be asked.
Yeah, I mean, the deflection, you know, the NRA, you know, I'm not, don't want them to parade around the streets to some kind of love fest. That's not what they're about. That's not what they're going to do. But at the end of the day, let's not deflect. Let's deal with. And the NRA can do that.
Right, right. All right, you're catching the drift, and when we come back, we will continue this, and we'll have that speech from Wayne LaPierre. See you on the other side.
Well, it's that time of year again. Stores filled with Christmas music, trees full of lights, and greetings from distant family in your mailbox. Hi, I'm Dan Martin, News and Operations Director here at Wham Talk 1600, wishing you the very best this holiday season. One of my favorite Christmas traditions is spending time with all my zany relatives every Christmas Eve, eating great food, singing carols, and watching the kids open gifts. From my wife, Kathy, my sons, Joe and Ben, and my cats, happy holidays to you and yours.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh, saying farewell to one of the longest-serving senators in U.S. history.
At a ceremony at Hawaii State Capitol, Senator Daniel Inouye was praised as a humble leader and as someone who served his country with honor and dignity. The senator laid in state for hours in a flag-draped coffin. Hawaii Governor Neil Abercrombie was among those paying tribute.
Well done. Thou good and faithful servant.
Fox News Radio's Pam Pusso. A November 10th house explosion in Indianapolis that killed two and destroyed or damaged dozens of nearby homes has resulted in murder charges leveled against the homeowner and two others. Investigators discovered they had rigged the gas fireplace.
This would require 6 to 9 hours for the house to fill with gas to reach the gas air ratio of combustibility that would lead to an explosion. The microwave oven was the point of ignition.
Marion County Prosecutor Terry Curry, Fox News. We report. You decide.
While many people see the joy that Christians have during the holiday season, non-Christians have attempted to hijack Christmas from believers by attempting to remove the name of Jesus Christ, the very one that brings the joy to Christmas. When people say Merry Xmas or Happy Holidays, what those people do not know is that the X in Xmas comes from the Greek letter He, which looks just like our letter X. He is the first letter of Christos, or Christ, and He has been an acceptable representation of the name of Christ since the early church. So they are not taking Christ out of Christmas after all, but as usual, just ignoring that it is His day. Now, the only way that one can truly experience a happy holiday is if Christ is included in it. So kala Christogena, or for those that do not speak Greek, Merry Christmas, or Xmas. My prayer this Christmas is that you find Christ so you can truly have the happy holidays you desire. I am Pastor Richard Dietering, bringing you a moment of clarity about Christmas.
Us every Sunday morning for Wham's Weekend Worship. At 9 a.m. it's the Lutheran Hour, followed by the Christian Science Sentinel at 9:30. At 10 o'clock, we join Bethlehem United Church of Christ for their live weekly service. Finally, we visit the First Presbyterian Church of Ann Arbor from 11 to noon. Start your week off right with Wham Talk 1600.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And you're catching The Drift. Welcome back to the show. In the studio with me, Joe Ballmer and Pat Tavolacci, both from West Brighton. We've got that track ready from Wayne LaPierre of the NRA. And let's roll with that, Derek, because I think it's crucial that people hear this portion.
Which brings us to David Gregory, the moderator of Meet the Press, watching it all from our Washington bureau. So, David, let's speak English here. In a Washington that doesn't do the big things anymore, that's used to getting by, kicking the can down the
road. That's still not the right one. All right. Well, it's not as important. I think we're covering it pretty well ourselves. Right. What he does is he goes on to talk about the culture. It is the culture that is doing this. And we can fix it, I guess, by doing a number of things, and that may be taking a look at violent video games, or I think the movie industry, the video game industry, they should take it upon themselves. He goes on in that speech to show it's a video game online called Kindergarten Killer, which some imbecile put out, and the media didn't say a word boo about it. It's out there. Nobody's blaming that. Darn right that's to blame. Anyone that would even come up with that ought to have their head read. You know, there's something wrong with a society that would put something like that on the market.
You know, I don't have the statistics, though, but when you see how much these video games are making, like the weekend they're released, when a new game comes out, or I mean, we're talking Hollywood blockbuster-type numbers, I think, that these games pull in. And, you know, if there's enough people who are going out there that are going to buy this, I mean, that's indicative of what we're dealing with here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unfortunate, I guess. But so Wayne goes on and he talks about what's the immediate effect. And he got a lot of hassle about it because he said, let's put an armed guard in every school. Well, you know what? Why is that a bad thing? I mean, in bad schools down in Detroit and probably in Chicago and L.A., they have cops already at some of those schools. I don't know who's picking up the tab for that. But how, if the immediate goal is to stop this from happening again or try to prevent it from happening again, the first thing you do is put a good guy with a gun at the school.
I, as you know, Gary, I fly a couple times a month and, you know, Pat, too, you know, travels hard. And, you know, we are, when we go through airport security from that moment on, in the whole time we're flying in a plane, there's probably an air marshal aboard. We're certainly led to believe that there is one.
Right.
Okay, whether there actually is or not, it's another story. But we're protected.
Right.
So why is a group of adults, when they fly, probably 100% safe, but a group of kids who go to school not? Why is there a difference? There should be. They should put the plainclothes security in our schools.
Yeah, and I guess that would come down to the details. The devil's in the details. But, you know, I did the math myself and looked online, and I think I encourage people to do this. There's like 980,000-odd schools, public schools in this country. You know what? If you multiply that by one guy, let's take maybe an ex-Marine, Army guy, whatever. They're coming home. They need jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a living wage. Give them 50 grand a year, full bennies. They're going to work 9 months of the year probably. From the time the kids get off the bus at school to the time they leave, put them out front. What kind of weapon he needs, I don't know. Give him a body arm. Does he need to be in uniform? I don't know. You could put him in a sport coat and a blazer like the Secret Service.
Sure.
With an MP5 or a Uzi under his jacket, and the kids never see a gun, so you're not scaring the kids. But on the other hand, we've had actual Marines coming out and volunteering. And we have a track. Jordan Pritchard is a volunteer. Do we have that track, Derek? Let's roll with that one.
There's no amount of money that could replace it. Yeah. The comments and the cards.
Jordan Pritchard's presence at Gower Elementary School has been a source of comfort for parents.
It brings a tear to your eye that in lieu of everything that's going on, someone's gone out of their way to do something special for us.
Over the weekend, the former Marine's daughter told her daddy she was scared to return to school because of the shooting in Connecticut.
And as a dad, I can't have that. I can't have my daughter coming to school worried about somebody coming in and hurting them.
Pritchard is currently unemployed and decided to spend his time volunteering to help his daughter feel safe at school.
So to settle and ease her mind, who better than her dad to come out here and stand in front of the school?
Pritchard dusted off his Marine Corps uniform and has been standing guard in front of the school since Monday.
This uniform represents more than who I am as a person. Me being out here may just be enough to stop somebody, some misguided, misled person from doing something crazy. That was my goal, and to ease my daughter's mind.
Standing guard at the school has not only eased his daughter's mind, it has been reassuring to other parents.
Just to know that symbolic uniform that represents protection is here at Gower is just heartwarming. It's peaceful. It brought a tear to my eye.
Yeah, and it brought a tear to my eye to see these videos, and there's umpteen of them now. Sergeant Craig Pusley. Down in South Carolina, I think, Houston Elementary, also doing the same thing, volunteering, because he's unemployed right now. He said he'll spend the next month standing in his uniform, no gun, outside the elementary. And the way the parents themselves dropping off kids are so thankful for that.
Well, God bless these guys. And, you know, containment, deterrence is an obvious recipe in what we're trying to fix here. We talked about the mental health piece and all that. This is an obvious recipe, and isn't it a shame that we've got two of our beloved warriors looking for work?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could put 980,000 returning vets to work, and you know what? Here's the thing. So I did the math: 50 grand salary, 20 grand in benefits. Multiply that out, and it comes out to about $7 billion. You know, some schools may need more than one. Call it $10 billion. It's a drop in the bucket when Barack Obama's pumping out $1.6 trillion in debt.
Yeah.
If you want to borrow money from China, that I'll borrow money for. Yeah. I'll pay more tax.
Yeah, 46 cents on the dollar, right, we're borrowing, right,
to
run. You know, what's $7 billion?
Billion.
Yeah, $7 billion, you know. That's the interest that we were incurring probably in a couple of hours.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that is an immediate – if the goal is to fix it now, find these guys. You know, take the volunteers for now. Call for volunteers until you get 980,000 guys. And, of course, you want to run them through the screen checks and everything else. But they just came out of the military. It shouldn't be that difficult to check them out, make sure their profiles are good, and give these guys a gun if necessary. But I think just standing there in uniform – does make a world of difference. Because you know what? When you put that gun free, and Wayne LaPierre said it too, when you put gun-free zone
right
in front of the school, that's telling every psychopath, you're not going to get any pushback here.
Yep.
You come in, do whatever you want. Because once again, the most common sense rule that tells you gun bans don't work is criminals do not obey the laws. They're criminals. So here's a short-term solution, and he hits it and gets flack for it. Anybody that would say it's a bad thing to put an armed security guard at a school is a moron, in my belief. I mean, why would you not want your children protected?
It's certainly a difference from arming the teachers, which that's a whole separate debate whether that's right. A good idea or not. But it's certainly hard to argue against the idea of a professional in the school in plain clothes who's going to take care of business if – God help ever needed.
Yeah, right. I mean, the deterrent factor is absolutely huge, and it's going to be a difference maker. And is the leader of our nation going to take the opportunity to go after clips and assault rifles, or is he going to go after short-term deterrents like these and long-term mental health issues? I'm anxious to see, because here we are. We got a lame duck president. Is he going to do something now to take care of this issue on our behalf?
Right. It will be interesting. I was encouraged when he said there's many ways to hit it. I can't remember exact words he used now, but I think he's going to look at it as a bigger solution as opposed to just gun. But you know, he's going to, for his agenda, try to take high-capacity magazines off the market.
Yeah.
Try to get some assault rifle. We don't even know what an assault rifle was. The last gun ban called it, if it had two or more military-looking attachments on the rifle, then it was called an assault rifle. And the companies just changed things to get around it. There was a lot of loopholes. But let's look at a statistic, because I think this is sobering. We talked about this last night. Murders in 2010. Now, this is 2 years old. Murders in 2010. By rifles, which included the assault rifles.
And these are not accidents. These are homicides.
These are homicides. These are murders in the U.S. in 2010. By rifle, 358 murders. That's your assault rifle. By handguns, 6,009 in 2010. From 300 for rifles and 6,009. Why would you even consider the assault rifles being the problem?
Right.
Well, it's an emotional reaction.
It's an emotional reaction to something that looks like a military gun. It's a stupid reaction when you look at the data. You know, you can take the emotions out of it. Look at the data. Shotguns, 373. That's more than rifles. Unknown guns with another 2,000, but, you know, it wasn't assault rifles because in mass shootings you always recover the weapon.
Yeah, so those 2,000 are probably more in the handgun category.
Probably in the handgun category. Knife and blade deaths by homicide in 2010, 1,704. Other weapons, that's baseball bats, bricks, whatever, another 1,772. Okay, so what are we going to do, outlaw bats or bricks or whatever people use to kill? Hands, fists, and feet, 745 people were murdered. That's twice what rifles did. What, are you going to outlaw people's hands and feet next? And let's go jihadist and remove some feet, shall we? It's silly. The data does not bear up a gun ban on assault rifles by any stretch of the imagination. Those are FBI data statistics. So don't claim to me that it's assault rifles and that's the problem, because it's not.
Back to the symptom, just as we talked about earlier. I mean, there's absolutely no way that we should be wasting a minute of our intellectual time going after clips when we can be going after deterrent and we can be going after long-term solutions like how to deal with the mental health challenges that we have in our country.
Yeah. Right now, there are kids in schools across this entire nation where multiple teachers are saying, we've got a problem with Johnny.
Right.
And nothing is being done.
Right. Right.
And Johnny someday is going to cause a problem, and those teachers are going to be on TV saying, we saw it coming. Stop that from happening right now.
Right. Yeah.
Johnny needs special care. In the example that you used, why aren't we putting resources in place instead of sticking him in the sixth grade class? Why aren't we dealing with him and getting him the right help he needs and the right education he needs to be the kind of citizen that we want him to be?
Right. Because the progressive liberals always want to mainstream everybody.
Absolutely.
Let's mainstream everybody. Make them all feel better about themselves. Well, you know what? Some people aren't meant to be mainstream.
That's right.
You know, some people are probably more uncomfortable being mainstreamed. Why are we forcing those people into the mainstream? If they need to be in a special ed class or a special school or an institution, sorry to say it, I know people look at, oh, it's a cold, harsh institution. You know what? It doesn't have to be. It can be a warm, fuzzy institution where people with special needs can live their lives. If that's what it takes as a caring society, we should be taking those people instead of trying to mainstreaming them and they fail and they live under bridges and they become homeless people.
Right. And it's worse than that, Gary. I mean, the kids like that are disruptive in the classroom. They're holding back some of those kids that we need to excel to become the future leaders of the country are being held back by this disruptive kid. And that, you know, that takes a toll on the rest of the class.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we owe that to that kid.
Yeah.
Okay. They're because they're troubled, could be the fact that we're ignoring them. We're not giving them what they need. We've got to look at these things a lot more keenly. And as we mentioned earlier, the teachers are the conduit to do that. They see these kids every day, every year that goes by. They know.
Yeah. And I think as parents, we have to have a little more faith in those teachers because, you know, they do get the bum rap.
They do.
And most teachers are good, solid people who care about the children they're teaching. And yet we depowered them and don't listen to them, even though they have our kids for 8 hours a day.
Right.
You know, that's insane that we don't listen to them and we don't take more of their and give them the ability to discipline.
Yeah. And we bash, we've tended to bash them, you know, over the last several years relative to the unionization and things of that nature. And that's a different show. But, at the end of the day, as I said a couple times already, these are the eyes and ears of the world. They see these folks every day, these kids. And you know what? Let's get some qualified people. Let's educate them. The president talked about education, all these teachers that we're going to have. Here's your chance. This is the absolute right time to do it. And will he instead start getting a subcommittee, congressional committee, to talk about assault rifles?
Right. Wasting time.
Just a complete, utter waste of time and resources. And unfortunately, I imagine I'll be putting on C-SPAN and I'm going to be seeing them talking about.
That's exactly right. Let's run into a break, Derek. And when we come back, we'll wrap up with some solutions that maybe we can tell people to do when we come back.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Forgiven and Set Free is a confidential Bible study designed to help women break free of the guilt and grief of abortion. Women who chose abortion for what they considered all the right reasons and even felt relief are not exempt from mourning the loss of their child. Forgiven and Set Free Bible Study will meet Tuesday evenings from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. for 9 consecutive weeks beginning January 15th and lasting through
through March 5th. It'll be at St. Paul Youth House, 500 West Liberty, corner of Liberty and 3rd Street. There is no charge and you must register. To register or for a confidential consultation, call 734-994-8863, extension 14. To learn more, visit www.arborwomen.com. There's going to be a sauerkraut supper at Bethlehem United Church of Christ, 423 South 4th Avenue in Ann Arbor. Tickets are $12 for adults, $5 for children 10 and under. For tickets, call 734-665-6149. Tickets will also be sold at the door. Mark your calendar. The Abolitionist Roundtable of Michigan hosts Dell and Phil present their second annual Luncheon and Life Achievement Awards Saturday, January 19th at noon at the Ukrainian Cultural Center, 26601 Ryan Road in Warren. Guest speaker will be former Mayor of Troy, Janice Daniels. Tickets are available for $40 per person and $75 per couple and can be purchased at artofmichigan.com or call 734-334-6309.
You've been listening to the Wham Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600. In touch with your community.
This is Derek Stone, inviting you to join me for the Wham! Country Christmas Special on Christmas morning from 4 to 6 and Christmas night from midnight to 2. I'll be playing classic Christmas songs from legendary singers like Johnny Cash, Merle Haggard, and Dolly Parton, as well as Christmas songs from today's biggest stars like George Strait, Lady Antebellum, and Toby Keith. That's the Wham! Country Christmas Special on Christmas Day right here on Wham!
No matter where you are in the world, whether you have a radio or not, you can listen to Wham! Talk 1600. All you need is a computer or even a smartphone. Just go to whamradio.com and click on the Listen Live link. See the latest updates to whamradio.com and be sure to listen live. From Trenton, New Jersey to Monterey, California, Toledo to Ishpeming, Wham! Talk 1600 is there. Online and streaming live. whamradio.com. You're catching the drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift. On Wham! Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
And welcome back. Thank you for catching the drift this Sunday morning. In the studio with me, Joe Vollmer and Pat Tabalacci from West Brighton. We were talking about maybe some solutions. I think we've kind of nailed one of them down. Putting an armed, maybe ex-serviceman, ex-military, at each school. How you would arm them, I don't know. But I think that is an immediate fix.
Absolutely.
Right now. It would literally
start with the uniform.
Start with the uniform. Do they need body armor? You know, I don't know. I would take most of our military guys, give them body armor. I'd say they're going to be an effective force just with that alone.
Yeah, I mean, we all vote. So, you know, when I voted at the local elementary school, you walk right in the door.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you can do whatever you want to do. And again, the deterrent in front of the building tells me I'm going to look somewhere else to do my damage.
I don't even think you need that so much. I mean, I don't know who the air marshal is on the plane when I get on. Just knowing that there supposedly is one.
Right. Yeah. Perception's reality,
Joe. It's a deterrent. Right there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's something, you know, I would hope some congressmen would listen to this and say, you know what, that is a great idea. Why wouldn't that? That should be the first and foremost thing right on the table. Let's spend that $10 billion and put a guy in every school. Or servicewoman, whatever.
Right. You could probably take the existing Department of Homeland Security, which is so bloated under President Obama, and you probably have enough staff to do it already.
Yeah. Well, they certainly have enough money. You could certainly take $10 billion out of their budget.
You nailed it, but it will, of course, need to be a different committee.
Yeah.
And a new czar and a new whatnot.
And a new budget adder.
Absolutely.
Well, Arne Duncan at the Department of Education. You know what? If you're going to spend some money, spend it on something worthwhile. So that's one thing. The other thing to do is, I know we talked about a lot of teachers aren't comfortable. They don't want to do guns. I bet you there are a lot that would like to take classes and be able to hold a gun. But how about some of the new pepper sprays or the new tasers? Why shouldn't, you know, if that principal at Newtown had the principal of Sandy Hook Elementary, had the Kimber guardian angel, at least you would have had something instead of running into the guy with nothing.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean?
Right.
If she could have been firing tear gas from 20 feet away as opposed to with nothing but her bare hands, it would have been better. A taser, anything.
Taser seems like an obvious answer.
How about a flash grenade, a flashbang grenade? You know, and stun him. She just throws it out in the hallway. It's going to blind the guy long enough for hopefully to slow him down anyways. You know, a flashbang grenade. It's not going to hurt anybody, but it's going to certainly stun the guy. So there are options to give teachers and school administration their own. So you've got two. You can either put an armed guy in and or give some defensive capability to the teachers, the administrative staff at a school. Give them something. Give them a baseball bat.
Anything, right. Yeah, I mean, as Jordan Pritchard talked about in the piece, there his daughter says, you know, I'm afraid to go to school. He does something about it. You're telling me that teachers aren't afraid? You go to class now?
Yeah.
So are they effective when they're not safe? We have to look at this seriously. And there's got to be, again, it's got to be the right things on the table, not the concentration on the clips and the clips alone.
Yeah. I'd like to see how much input the teachers and the administrators of schools will actually have in this process. You know, with the politicians on Capitol Hill doing their committee, going through the assault weapons, will anyone look at these statistics and say, you know what, maybe we are barking up the wrong tree on assault rifles. Let's get some real teachers in here and say, what would make you feel better? What do you wish you had if you were that teacher in the classroom?
Yeah, I suspect it will not be a ground-up data gathering, no. It will be someone deciding what it takes to politically appease some noisy minority.
Exactly, which will be code pink.
Yeah, another get a vote agenda, yeah, instead of a make us safer agenda.
Yeah, exactly. Well, gentlemen, thank you for coming in this morning. Your thoughts are appreciated. Until next week, Merry Christmas to all, and have a great holiday.
Thank you, Gary.
Thanks, Gary. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.